Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a Catholic news weekly produced by AM 820 to keep you informed and up-to-date about what's happening in our listening area. And now, St. Gabriel's Trumpet with host Chip Stalter.
Good afternoon and welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet on this feast day of a couple of heavy hitters. First, it's the feast of St. Gabriel the Archangel. Gabriel means man of God, or God has shown himself mighty. First appears in the prophecies of Daniel in the Old Testament. The angel announced to Daniel the prophecy of the 7 weeks. He's also the angel that appeared to Zechariah to announce the birth of St. John the Baptist and announced to Mary that she would bear the Son who would be conceived by the Holy Spirit, Son of the Most High and Savior of the world. St. Gabriel is the patron of communications workers. It's also the feast day of St. Michael the Archangel. The name Michael signifies who is like to God and was the war cry of the good angels in the battle fought in heaven against Satan and his followers. Holy Scripture describes St. Michael as one of the chief princes and leader of the forces of heaven in their triumph over the powers of hell. He has been especially honored and invoked as patron and protector of the church from the time of the apostles. St. Michael is the patron of grocers, mariners, paratroopers, police, and sickness. We've got a jam-packed show for you today on the trumpet. We're going to hear about the women's retreat that Elizabeth Ficicelli is featured speaker at. Holy Family Soup Kitchen is having a fundraiser in October. Matt talks to Tricia Casson of Lancaster, who spent time in India with the Missionaries of Charity. First up, October is Respect Life Month. Madison County Right to Life will hold its first annual Madison March for Life on Friday, October 3rd. The march begins at 4 p.m., leaving from and returning to St. Patrick's School, 226 Elm Street in London. Prominent pro-life speakers, including Ohio Right to Life President Mike Gonadakis, will begin their talks at 5:30 p.m. An ICU mobile crisis pregnancy bus will be available for viewing throughout the evening. All are welcome at any time during the event. Karen Migalski spoke with the president of Madison County Right to Life, Brendan Shea, about the event.
Joining us today on the trumpet is Brendan Shea, who is serving as president of Madison County Right to Life. Thank you for joining us today, Brendan.
Thanks so much, Karen. It's great to be here.
So October is Respect Life Month, and for this month, you will be holding a March for Life. Can you tell us about what this event will be?
Sure. So October 3rd, Madison County Right to Life, which is a relatively new countywide pro-life organization in Madison County, and can certainly tell you more about that, but we've been planning a Madison March for Life, kind of based on a similar idea as the March for Life that takes place in Washington, D.C. And that march will begin at 4 p.m. at St. Patrick's School in London, Ohio, 226 Elm Street, beginning from and returning to London. And then after the march, starting at 5:30, we'll have some prominent pro-life speakers from throughout Ohio, including Ohio Right to Life President Mike Gonadakis, State Representative Bob Hackett, ICU Mobile Executive Director Michelle Chadwick, and Dr. Kathleen Lutter, who's a pro-life OBGYN, and she was also the 2012 Catholic Woman of the Year. So we think it'll be a great, inspiring, informative event, and we're really opening it up to people of all faiths and goodwill, and people can feel free to join us at any time during the evening. You don't have to be there right at 4 or right at 5:30. People can really come at any time.
Excellent. And I see here that you'll have the ICU Mobile Crisis Pregnancy Bus. Can you explain what that will be?
Sure. So ICU Mobile is an Akron-based pro-life organization. They do ministry and outreach. And basically, they outfit and distribute mobile crisis pregnancy units. So essentially, they're coach buses that they have outfitted just like you'd have a state-of-the-art crisis pregnancy center. With ultrasound machines and whatnot. And these buses usually go around in metropolitan areas, in areas where there are a large number of abortion-minded women. And just like a crisis pregnancy center, women will come in, and the bus comes to them. It finds them. So they're very effective. And so they have units throughout Ohio and even nationally. But they don't have one in the Columbus area, and they're very interested in getting one. So when we contacted them, told them about our event in Greater Columbus, they were just very excited to be there, and people can board the bus and see what it's all about. And Executive Director Michelle Chadwick will be speaking as well, giving us information on the wonderful work that they do.
This sounds like it's an exciting event. Where can somebody get more information?
Sure. You can get more information on our website, which is MadisonRightToLife.Weebly.com. MadisonRightToLife.Weebly.com.
Well, thank you so much, Brendan, for joining us today on The Trumpet, and thank you for standing up to honor life.
Thank you so much, Carrie. Great to be here, and thanks for all you do.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you as well.
For more information, visit MadisonRightToLife.Weebly.com. You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet at 6 minutes past the hour. Matt sat down with Tricia Kasson and spent time with her. She's from Lancaster. She's a nurse, and she spent time in India with the Missionaries of Charity.
Tricia, welcome to St. Gabriel's Trumpet.
Thank you, Mr. Palmer.
Our listeners are in for a treat. Tricia has had a couple of amazing experiences recently that she's going to share with all of you. But Tricia, start a little bit by going back and telling us where you grew up in high school and college, and just give us a sense of you.
Of course. I grew up in Lancaster, Ohio. I went to elementary school at St. Mary's and then high school at William V. Fisher Catholic. I graduated and studied nursing and theology at Franciscan University in Steubenville. And I've worked as a nurse at the James Cancer Hospital for the past 3 years.
How wonderful. What do you do at the James? What particular area are you in?
I worked on a surgical PCU floor. So it was a lot of people who are suffering with breast cancer or lung cancer, or anything that can really be removed surgically.
Okay.
So your solid cancers.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for your service to people that way. That's beautiful.
It's an honor. It's a great honor.
Tricia had two experiences that I think our listeners will love hearing about recently. Share with them first your trip to India and what you did and who you were there with. And
I recently went to Calcutta, India. I worked with the Missionaries of Charity as a lay volunteer. I worked in the mornings at a free clinic with other medical volunteers from all around the world, which was such an experience. And even the sisters who are doctors and the sisters who are nurses worked closely next to us. And then in the afternoons, I would go to a orphanage for special needs children.
Mm. And for the children, what kinds of things were you doing for them?
It was such a contrast from the morning, because in the morning you have hundreds of people and you need to be in hundreds of different places at one time. And in the afternoon, it was such a gift because all I really needed to do was to hold the child or feed the child. Just that simplicity that Mother Teresa talks about. It was, my afternoons were so peaceful.
Was this orphanage part of the Missionaries of Charity?
Oh, yes, of course. Run completely by the sisters. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the Missionaries of Charity. When you think about them, now that you came to know so many of them, tell us about these beautiful women and their charism and the kind of women that you met there and describe them for our listeners.
Well, Joss and Catherine talked a lot about authentic love. And I think that the Missionaries of Charity really embody that in so many ways. We can look and think like, well, what is authentic love? What is authentic love? And we just always have to look to the cross and we see Jesus crucified. And then also at the cross, we see Our Lady praying at the foot, suffering with Christ. And in all of the Missionaries of Charity's chapels, they have a big crucifix, a simple crucifix. And next to the crucifix, it says, I thirst. And I was just struck because I was able to pray all the community prayers with the sisters and attend Mass with them. And you look at them and they don't have chairs. They're kind of rolled up on the floor, sitting at the foot of that cross. And it's just like looking at 100 little Our Ladies praying and suffering with Christ and suffering with Him through the people in Calcutta and through the people all throughout the world. Such a spiritual motherhood that is so tangible.
In the mornings when you were with those that needed your medical assistance, you were doing a lot of work with wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So again, describe kind of what kinds of health issues did the people that you and the other Missionaries of Charity were serving, what kind of health issues did they have?
Well, you could definitely see the disparity in India. Maybe even it was more striking than I thought it would be. Particularly, I thought I would be going and working with people who are dying, but Christ said something different for me, and I'm so grateful. I learned so much. The people who I took care of most were men who had come off the street. And I'm assuming there was a language barrier, but I'm assuming most of them were diabetic. So they were diabetic ulcers on their feet. And some of them could have been from other injuries. And they don't have any way to clean them or dress them because they bathe on the streets with dirty water. So a lot of what I did was just cleaning the infection and bugs. I don't want to get too graphic on the radio, out of the wounds and then just redressing them.
You know, I'm so, as you described, the Missionaries of Charity at the foot of the cross in the mm-hmm. chapel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just so touched by that image. And then to think of you and them all through the day, loving the least and the lost, and seeing Christ in them. I'll always remember that Mother Teresa really was able to see Jesus in the faces of the poor. As you experienced your time there, how did the Holy Spirit and work in your life to help you to see Christ in these people, and any particular faces that you remember, or just mm-hmm. talk about that experience of serving Christ in that way?
Mm-hmm. You hear, and as a little girl, I would hear Mother Teresa's message, and it was just inspiring, you know, like, love every person just where they are, look at their face and encounter the person. And when I was working with the Missionaries of Charity, there are so many people who need you. And so it was hard. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be to encounter the person instead of their injury or instead of their ailment. And I learned that you really can't do it without the grace of God. And the missionary's secret is the Eucharist. Like, you really can't do it without Jesus, because you just get so overwhelmed. And so, yeah, I guess what I would learn most of all, what I learned most of all, is the necessity of the Eucharist in doing what God is asking you to do. And then also, I remember praying at Mother Teresa's tomb on my last day and just like, what do I do with all this suffering now? What is my life supposed to look like now? How do I respond? I can't just act like I didn't see it.
How are you learning what that answer is?
Yeah.
What are you going to do with that suffering?
I think right now, I think my only response can be to pray and to be joyful. We have to be joyful. I just felt like the Holy Spirit telling me, just be joyful. If you let this steal your joy, then that's not the answer, you know? Once we see like great suffering, I don't know. I don't think the answer would be just to be sad for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Because there's such beauty in that suffering. So I think it's just to continue to share with the world the freedom of a Christian life.
I'm so struck by the Blessed Mother's suffering, and yet she lived with such joy. And
mm-hmm.
so I love that image that you started with in your sharing with us. Let's move to your trip home.
Mm-hmm.
On the way home, you stopped and did the El Camino.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so excited for our listeners to hear about that. First, you're going to need to tell some of our listeners that may not know
uh-huh.
what is the El Camino,
uh-huh.
and then share a little bit about your experience with that.
The El Camino is a pilgrimage in Spain. It starts in France. Actually, it can start anywhere in Europe, but most commonly it starts in France. And it is an 800-kilometer pilgrimage across Spain to the tomb of St. James. So the Camino can be translated the way, or the way of St. James. And St. James is the apostle. He's one of the Sons of Thunder. And we believe he was the one who evangelized Spain. And after he was evangelized, he was martyred. And his tomb is at Basilica in Santiago. And a bishop hiked this pilgrimage to the tomb of St. James thousands of years ago. And since then, it's become a popular pilgrimage for people around the world.
It took you how many days? And tell us a little bit about some of those days. Pick a couple of days and just describe what it felt like to do the walk and
uh-huh.
who you were with and
uh-huh.
just how it worked.
Yeah, it took 30 days. And on average, it takes probably about a month. I was with so many wonderful people from all around the world. Something interesting about the pilgrimage is a lot of people aren't doing it for religious reasons anymore. So when you register, you can say, I'm doing this for religious reasons, spiritual reasons, or I'm just doing it for fun. And I would say the majority of the people I walked with were verbalized that they were doing it just because. And so it was interesting because I was reflecting that when St. James walked Spain and evangelized, he was talking to a lot of Christians people who had never even heard the name of Christ. So he was proclaiming the gospel for the first time. And now it's different because we're talking to people who have heard the name of Christ and have heard about the church, but hear about it through maybe the media. And so they're angry. So it's a whole different evangelization. And, in many ways, I think it's a little bit harder, but nonetheless, the Camino was just a joy. A day that I remember, one of my favorite days is I had already hiked to Santiago, and I was going to continue to hike to the coast, and I was with some friends, and it was pouring down rain, and then it stopped raining just in the morning so we could start again, and one of my friends said, if we just pray to God, it won't rain anymore. And I thought in my head, unless he has something better for us. And we started in the sun, we started walking, and then it just starts downpouring, and we're in the eye of the storm, and we like run into a cafe in a small, small village in Spain. And right when we run in, the power just goes off. So we're waiting in this cafe with maybe, 10 other people. And we have to wait about an hour. And once we're about to start hiking again, the bartender said, there is a mass today in the village because it's our village feast day. It starts in 5 minutes. And so I was able to go to mass, and it was just me and one other woman at this mass. And it just felt like it was just for me, you know, it's just that personal love of Jesus Christ. And it felt like it rained just for me so I could receive him in the Eucharist. And it was just one of my favorite moments of the Camino.
What a gift. What an understanding of life that after the rain, and after the struggles and the trials, we see Christ mm-hmm. so beautifully in mm-hmm. the Mass. Tricia, thank you so much for sharing both your time with the Missionaries of Charity and your trip on the El Camino. I think the Lord has many other wonderful things ahead for you, and I'm so grateful that you came today to spend time with our listeners. Thanks.
Thank you.
God bless.
You're listening to St. Gabriel's Trumpet, a production of St. Gabriel Radio. It's 16 minutes past the hour. Become a woman of virtue with the help of Saints Bernadette, Faustina, and Therese at St. John Newman's 8th Annual Women's Retreat, October 10th through the 12th, at the Heartland Retreat Center in Marengo. Join Elizabeth Picicelli, who will share her interesting and surprising spiritual journey and encourage us to see how and where God may be leading us into our own spiritual journey. Carrie spoke with Elizabeth about the beautiful weekend that is planned.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Elizabeth Picicelli. She is our local host for our show, Answering the Call, and she will be leading a women's retreat with St. John Newman on October 10th through the 12th. Welcome to The Trumpet, Elizabeth.
Hi, Carrie. It's good to be here. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Tell us what this retreat is going to be about and some of the things that will be shared during this experience.
Sure. This is St. John Newman's 8th Annual Women's Retreat. It will be, as you said, October 10th and the 12th, and it takes place at the Heartland Retreat Center in Marengo, Ohio. It is open to women in the diocese. You don't have to be from St. John Newman's to attend. But the retreat is called Becoming Women of Virtue with the Helps of St. Bernadette, Faustina, and Therese. And I am so excited to be leading this retreat. I've been wanting to do a women's retreat Friday to Sunday for a really long time, and when I decided, well, what would I do if I was going to give a retreat, I was thinking about all the individual presentations I do, and these came to mind, the saints that I speak about, and I began to think, what do these three saints have in common? And instantly it came to me that while they embody many virtues, there was one virtue in particular that I saw with each of these three particular saints, and those were the three virtues of faith, hope, and love. For Bernadette, it was faith, Faustina, it was hope, and Therese, it was love. And so I put that together as a concept for a Friday through Sunday retreat experience, and that's the one we're going to be doing. So what this will be, how it unfolds is on Friday night, I will be sharing my conversion story. And I'm doing that because it helps the women understand how these saints came into my life, but it also invites them to look back on their own lives and see how God may be working and leading them into various either missions or ministries in their own life. And I always like to know who my retreat master is when I go on retreat. I begin to relate to them better if I know their story. So we'll start with my story Friday night, and they'll be journaling throughout the weekend. I'm a big advocate of journaling. I think it's a great way to get in touch with God and with your own thoughts and feelings and sort things out. So we'll be doing some private journaling after the Friday presentation and then a period of adoration. Then Saturday, we'll start diving into the other saints. We'll start Saturday morning with a large group sharing, and then we'll be doing a presentation on Bernadette. And again, she is the virtue of faith in my eyes. And after that presentation, we'll be doing journaling and some small group sharing. And then there's always an activity we do after the presentations that relate to the saint. In this case, we'll be doing the rosary because Bernadette was such a beautiful witness of the rosary and Our Lady of Lourdes praying the rosary and stuff in the grotto. Saturday afternoon, we will then be meeting Faustina, who is my saint that represents the virtue of hope. After that presentation, we'll be journaling again, and this time we'll have a one-on-one sharing experience, so you get to share with one other person on the retreat. And the activity we'll be doing after that presentation is the chaplet, because the Chaplet of Divine Mercy obviously is very associated with Faustina, and there'll also be time for Stations of the Cross and Adoration. And then Saturday evening, there will be confession available, the sacrament, which is very important to all three saints. There'll be some social time. There's going to be a saint-related craft, and there'll be movies on the saints that will be offered. And then Sunday morning, we'll round out the retreat. We'll have Mass in the morning, and then we will meet Therese, who is my saint of the virtue of love, and we'll recite her oblation to God's merciful love, and there'll be a final wrap-up and sharing. So I'm really excited. I talk about it, I'm getting all excited. I'm practicing the presentations, and I think it's going to be beautiful. So I do invite the women of the diocese to attend.
It does sound like a beautiful weekend. And where can somebody get more information?
If you go on to the St. John Newman website, just Google St. John Newman in Sunbury. It's listed right in the front of their website, and there's a registration link. It's $100, and that includes your meal and lodging, all your meals and lodging. So it is open, as I said, to the diocese, and it's limited capacity. So do respond quickly so we can get you in there. And I really look forward to meeting women of the diocese. It's October 10th through the 12th.
Okay, thank you so much, Elizabeth, and we hope you have a blessed week.
Thank you. God bless you, too.
For more information, you can visit the St. John Newman website, stjohnsunbury.org. Started in the 1970s, it was a mission of Father Francis Schweitzer, former pastor at Holy Family, to feed the area's hungry and homeless. Today, the Holy Family Soup Kitchen and Food Pantry serves over 700 meals daily, Monday through Friday, and an average of 125 families receive assistance from the food pantry each week. The Holy Family Soup Kitchen will be holding a fundraiser at the kitchen located at 231 East Livingston on Tuesday, October 7th from 5 until 9 p.m. Carrie spoke with Caroline Kethke, a volunteer with the Soup Kitchen, to discuss their need for financial resources because they are in need of food.
Joining us today on The Trumpet is Caroline Kethke, who is a volunteer with the Holy Family Soup Kitchen. This year, the Holy Family Soup Kitchen will be holding a fundraising event, and Caroline's here to talk to us about the Soup Kitchen and what some of the needs are. Welcome to The Trumpet, Caroline.
Thank you, Carrie. Like she said, we do volunteer work for the homeless program that Holy Family Soup Kitchen does Monday through Friday from 10:30 in the morning till 12:30, where we rely on our community restaurants and to donate their leftover foods. And right now we are running short on the donations, which means we can't feed the individuals that live in tents, the Y programs, just those individuals that are out there struggling day by day. So we are doing a fundraiser for this soup kitchen to help with the community people that live out on the street. This year we are doing it at the kitchen, which is located at, it's 231 East Livingston, which is in German Village. It's Taco Tuesday, 5 to 9. And we look forward to anyone who can participate in just joining us at Taco Tuesday at the kitchen to help the fellow Americans who are homeless and to feed them.
Caroline, with your experience at the soup kitchen, have you come across maybe families that you've helped or anything that has personally touched you for why this community really needs to help out and reach out and help these families, where you could kind of express that as far as the need that's out there?
One individual lady, she came into the soup kitchen and she had been beaten up by her, I want to say, boyfriend. And she lives in a little tent area. And she came into the kitchen and she had a black eye, a busted lip, blood on her hands. And she just had her head down. And I was serving food that day and or calling numbers. And it touched my heart. And I thought, I need to do something for this person. and went over and gave her a hug and told her, is there anything I can do? And she just cried, and we just hugged. And it's, you know, it's touching to be able to see and be able to help somebody, and you don't know where there's shoes that they're walking in or where they came from or what their situation is. But here she had been beat up, hungry, had nowhere to go. And sometimes just giving a hug and a meal just can mean anything. And it's just, you know, we see those type of situations all the time. You know, just not the ladies, but the men. We see children, you know, during the summers. They come in because they don't know where they're going to get their next meal because they're being fed at schools. School's shut. So they come into the soup kitchen. So it touches you every day when you see these individuals, and they come day in and day out. And you make friendship with them. Yeah. I mean, you do. You truly, you know, you like to see their smiles. They always tell you, thank you very much. It's they're very thankful. And so it keeps you coming back. It really does. It makes those individuals make you come back.
Well, thank you so much, Caroline, for your service that you do at the Holy Family Soup Kitchen. And we would really like to urge everybody in the community to support this ministry because it is so important. And it's behind the scenes that we don't even realize there's such a great need there. So thank you so much for joining us today.
For more information, you can contact the Holy Family Soup Kitchen or go online at holyfamilycolumbus.org. That's it for today's episode of St. Gabriel's Trumpet. Hope you learned a little something today. If you've got something crazy good going on in your parish or an event that you'd like to talk about or think we should focus on here at St. Gabriel's Trumpet, send us an email at info@stgabrielradio.com. For the entire St. Gabriel's Trumpet team, I'm Chip Stalter. Deus vobiscum.
St. Gabriel's Trumpet is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820. Archives of St. Gabriel's Trumpet with Chip Stalter and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.